This podcast is intended for mature audiences and discusses topics that may be upsetting. For a full content warning, sources, and resources, please visit the episode notes. Opinions shared by the guests of the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself, Broken Cycle Media, or Wondery. The podcast and any linked materials should not be misconstrued as a substitution for legal or medical advice. Megan Stoner's responses to these allegations are addressed within this season. I'm Tiffany Reese, and this is Something Was Wrong. Last episode, we heard about Justin and Amanda's elaborate yoni sting operation, in which they invented a fake yoni practitioner in an effort to find out where Stoner was allegedly hiding from police. Their efforts alongside Alyssa and local police helped lead to Stoner's third arrest. Stoner was booked at Hamilton County Jail on September 9th, 2023. Shortly after being booked into Hamilton County Jail, Stoner began frequently calling Alyssa, despite the fact that Alyssa had previously represented herself as Vanessa, the fake journalist, and helped Amanda and Justin in the yoni sting incident as well. Here's Alyssa.
After the failed arrest, I told her who I was, and she came to the realization that, like, there was no journalist. I was bullshitting her the entire time. Well, my calls would have started with her was September, because within a couple days of her going into the jail, I sent you those messages where I was like, hey, Megan, I saw that you're in jail if you want somebody to talk to. I just wanted her to talk to me. We all wanted to know, like, what are you thinking? What's your mindset going into this? And she called maybe a day or two later. So there were a lot of times where I would just talk to her, like, almost like we were friends. Like, how was your day today? What happened?
Alyssa's goal was ultimately to get Stoner to admit to more crimes, which she eventually did. Here is audio from Alyssa's first two jailhouse calls with Stoner on September 14th, 2023.
Hello.
Hey, Alyssa, it's Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, I need a quick favor.
Okay.
Go to my case for me, and the name of my attorney for Elwood. If you could get the name, and if you could Google the name and get me the phone number, please, it would be extremely helpful if you could, please.
Okay. Why?
Because I need his contact info for the court, and I don't have it.
All right, 1 second.
Thanks. You're one of the only people that I have that know how to do my case on the outside, so.
Who have you been able to talk to since you've been in there?
Just my mom.
Does she know, like, how to put money on her phone to have you call?
Oh, yeah, we've been doing that. She just doesn't know how to do my case at all, so I'm kind of stuck.
It looks like Kyle Noon is the judge. It looks like your lawyer withdrew his appearance.
That was Brent. It should say, if you click on my name on the case, it should say Aaron Heifner, I think.
Oh, yeah. Kenneth Aaron Heifner. I have the number. It's here on
my
case.
Okay, what's his number? Thank you. Thanks, Alyssa.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. I'll talk to you later, okay?
How's it going today?
I'm okay. I didn't sleep last night, and so I've been a little more emotional today.
But well, it seems like
okay.
You're kind of used to staying up all night anyway, right?
Yeah, I just wish I would have gotten some sleep last night, but I got a little bit today, so, and I was able to talk to both of my attorneys, so that was good at least.
What did your attorney say today?
Just making a game plan for stuff. feel like right now I just need any positive energy I can get, you know?
Yeah.
Not fake positive energy, but also not like, you know, go to death row. That's not helpful.
Who told you that?
Marion County. Some people in Marion County told me I was going to death row.
Like the inmates?
Yeah.
You thought you were going to get the death penalty for stealing money from people?
Well, they told me because I was going to be transferred to Hamilton. And they kept telling me that when they took me to Hamilton, it would actually be to the penitentiary to get the needle. And that I wouldn't even get to see a judge.
Megan, I would think you have more common sense than that. To know that that's not true.
I know, but it got me really worked up. And I asked probably 30 times on my way to Hamilton County if we were just going to Hamilton County. Because I was legitimately kind of scared because I know you guys think I know a lot, but I've actually been kept in the dark about a lot of this. I mean, it's just been a very, like, not transparent situation. On like, I'm not always in the loop about what's going on, and that's probably why I need a lot of help right now.
Because you don't know what's going on?
Well, yeah, and when I do know what's going on, I tend to get really overwhelmed, and then I just shut down. And that's why I am having my mom step in a little bit more now and help me until I get back on my feet.
I did, like I said, I did reach out to Mike Neal for you. That was one thing I was willing to do. I wouldn't expect there to be a lot of compassion or kindness. I just want you to be prepared for the hard conversations. If you're wanting to talk to people like this, you need to be prepared for anything.
I know.
I get feeling alone, but like, I thought you had people on, like, Team Meg. Where are those people? Or was that just lies that you made up and those people didn't exist?
A lot of people turned against me, either for good, bad, or whatever. I mean, people turned for whatever reason. I mean, when you are sitting on Jeff L4, you learn who your friends are.
Yeah, that's very true. I can imagine that would be a pretty humbling experience.
It is.
I just hope somewhere through this you find the ability to have remorse for these things. I know you said that you have it, but you had a really funny way of showing it when you were still on the outside.
Yeah, I just think that I don't know how to show it, and I'm trying to learn. I'm hoping to find some direction from someone like my attorney this week or next. Like, I don't know how else to show my remorse. I don't know what else to do.
Well, I don't know. I don't think you can teach someone how to be remorseful. I think that's something you're going to have to learn on your own.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're going to be learning it the hard way.
Yeah.
I'm a remorseful person. If when I do something, I feel terrible about it. But, like, I don't usually ask people for money or try to scam them when I'm feeling remorseful. I really want you to hear what I just said to you because... Mm-hmm. It seems like in the past you said you were remorseful and then just kept doing the same shit over and over. I am cooking dinner. If you want to call me back, maybe around 8.
Okay, thanks, Alyssa. Have a good dinner. I'll talk to you later.
More than anything, the Megan Stoner story fascinates me on a different level because I've never encountered someone quite like her. And there are a lot of people that probably go through their life and never encounter someone like Megan Stoner, and thank God that they don't, because the level of malice that comes with her is insane. Oftentimes she was in SEG, which she was like pulled away from the other inmates for issues that she was causing in the block. And she tells me through our calls why that happened. My cousin was actually in the same block as her in the jail. So Megan would tell me a story and then I would go to my cousin and I would say like, hey, is this what actually happened? And she's like, no, that's not what happened at all. Megan is giving the officers grief because she keeps pressing the panic button in her cell and they've asked her not to do that if there's not a true emergency, but she continues to do it. Megan would tell me, well, they're just all out to get me. They won't even tell me why they put me in here. I don't even know why I'm in SEG. I really did build a relationship with her where she felt like she could trust me and she could tell me things.
I got put in protective custody last night, which was not fun.
Why?
Because of the publicity of my case, I got put in protective custody.
The publicity of your case got you put in protective custody?
That's what they told me.
That's weird.
So I got front and stuck with custody last night. I'm back in gin pop today, which is really nice.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that makes you a target. If you're in protective custody, they're going to want to know why you're in there. All of those girls in there are going to want to know.
I wrote a really long, 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 long letter, like a whole page, almost 2 pages, of like, listen, I need to have community, and I know this is jail, and we don't get what we want here, but like, if you guys want me to be able to integrate back into society at some point, I really would like to be with other people and be able to have social skills, because in protective custody, you don't get out but 1 hour a day.
Really?
Yeah, and you don't get to socialize in protective custody. Literally, I mean, it's almost like solitude. Like, I'm not kidding. It's not fun. I mean, you get your tablet, but still, like, you know, there's life outside of calling, you know, you guys. You know, there's people and social skills to be have and to have. And for me to learn how to treat other people correctly, which I know sounds like a weird place to learn that is jail, but you'd be surprised.
Do you feel like you've learned anything since you've been in there?
Learned a lot. I'm trying to find out if I'm going to be allowed to take a piece of paper into the courtroom on Monday, because I'm supposed to, I want to read a letter to the judge, but I don't know if they're going to let me take paper with me.
I really think had you gone in front of the judge when you were supposed to, you would have had a much easier time than what you're going to have right now. I think this judge is going to be a little upset. I know I would be. I feel like...
I hear you.
I think they're going to think it was disrespectful, you know? So if you're going to write a letter, I would make sure that you're just very sincere in the fact and maybe tell them why you were running. I don't know that you had a good reason. I mean, I assume you were probably scared.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just trying to focus on Monday because it's going to be here. Today's been one of the better days I've had. Like I said, I got to come back to general population, which is nice. If you're ever in jail... You want to be in gen pop. You don't want to be by yourself, trust me.
Yeah, I feel like that's jail inside of jail. You know what I mean? Like,
it doesn't really help. It's not, like, I'm already in jail, and then isolating me more is not helpful. So,
I would understand. I would say I understand. I do feel like it's a punishment inside of a punishment, but I don't understand why if it was for your...
I did something to deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I got in a fight, you know, or if I punched someone, okay, fine. But to be like, oh, your case is high profile and we need to put you in protective custody, like, what the fuck?
I don't know that I could get used to that.
Yeah.
I think that would suck. I will say this. I really hope you take that determination. I really hope you take that determination and you put it towards being able to right your wrongs. I think there were a lot of people out here that are thinking, like, if you get away with this or if there are no repercussions for what you did, that you'll just come out and be the same person. And I think we would all like to see.
Megan,
let me tell you something. Someone mentioned this one time, and I thought it was, like, the best thing I had ever heard. If you had been a different person and had done different things, you wouldn't have had 1,500 people against you in a group. You would have probably had 1,500 friends. I'll be honest, I've made a lot of friends through this, like people that I really respect and are good people, like Mike and Kyle and Chloe and people like that, Alex Brewster. Like, these are good people.
Yeah.
And I think none of us are here to...
I can agree with that.
None of us are here to be like, oh, you know, I hope she dies in there. I want to see you be a better person after this. We all just want to see you change. So take that determination that you have to get through this and make sure that you... right your wrongs.
I'm sharing these calls within the group, so it's not just me listening to them. There's like 15 people listening to these calls. As it progressed, there were times where I would just get so irritated and so angry, and I almost couldn't keep my composure anymore. But a lot of the reason for these calls with Megan is because the more I talked to her, she was admitting to crimes. On the jail phone, on a recorded line, not only that I'm recording, but the jail is recording. So... the closer that we got, the more she's telling me. I was definitely trying to figure out if she had money. And not because I was worried she was going to post her bail, because she kept saying, you know, I'm going to pay back my victims. I'm going to do this and that. And there were a couple times I was like, okay, so if I bail you out, are you going to pay back your victims when you get out? Yes, absolutely. That's the first thing I'm going to do when I get out is I'm going to pay back my victims and I'm going to right my wrongs. And so there were so many times where I tried to bait her into telling me. She would always say, like, I have an account with all this money in it. I have school loans or grants.
Do we think that any of that is real?
Absolutely not. Because she had the opportunity to bail out before she was sentenced so many times and it never happened. I'd be like, well, why don't you have your mom give me the card? Why doesn't your mom just take your bank card up there and post your bail? Well, it doesn't work like that. You know, I have to be out to gain access to the funds. It was always something. There was always a reason that she couldn't access these funds. But if I posted that bail and she got out, she'd be able to pay me back immediately because those funds were there, but only she could access them. With Tom, originally she had asked him to borrow money up front. It was, I need to borrow some money from you. He said, okay, that's fine, but you need to pay me back on this date. So that date comes around and she's like, I just need a little more time. But if you give me a little more time, instead of paying you back the amount that I owe you, I will double it because I'm going to get my student loan soon. And so he would give her a little more money. And this kept happening and the date kept getting pushed back. It's unfortunate because Tom is just such an amazing person that he really thought he was helping out a friend in need. And she would make the crisis seem so big and it was so tragic and she just needed a little bit of help and she needed someone to believe in her. And he just kept giving and giving. And this just kept happening for months on end. And she admitted all of this to me on the phone, that she had taken all of this money from him and that she had opened a credit card in his name.
I just wanted to say that I don't know if anybody will believe me, and it's okay if they don't, but I sincerely want to change.
Why now? And why not before? It just sounds like you're saying that because you're in jail. So that's the hard part.
I've heard from a lot of people why I've been in here on texting and on the phone, and I realize how many people I've hurt, and I don't want to be that person in society. I don't want to be like a mini, like, not saying I'm not, like, trying to compare myself, like, that I've killed or anything. But, like, I don't want to be, like, a Hitler, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to be a bad person. I want to be a good person. And Alex was suggesting some things that I could do to right some wrongs, like writing the credit card companies and stuff. If I have a little bit of guidance when on the outside, I can really make a lot of wrongs right. I can really start correcting things.
So you're saying you opened a credit card in his name? You admitted that to her?
Yeah.
He's in some really financial crisis right now. I think that was the hardest one for all of us to swallow. He is like the most kind and caring person I have ever met. And I'm sure you know that I've read every single text message you ever had with him. And Megan, the things that you said and did to him, those were character flaws. Like, that's not just like one bad decision. That's like, you're going to have to really do some work to recover from that. And then opening credit cards in his name, like, absolutely, you need to write that credit card company. I mean, that poor man is out like 15 grand. If you could write the credit card company, I think that would be amazing. I think that would be a very big first step in writing your wrong.
I will do that.
I think that would be very wise. And I would be fine if you mailed it to me and I could mail it to the credit card company. I don't know. If you can mail it from there, I don't know how that works.
I don't have any envelopes, Alyssa.
Do they have envelopes on commissary? I'm sure they do.
I didn't see any last week.
I will figure it out for you, how you can get an envelope with a stamp on it. I can make that happen if you can write the credit card companies.
Yeah.
I think that would speak volumes.
I mean, I don't have a lot of money past the $6,000, but I could take the $6,000 plus I think the extra $1,000 that I have, plus my aunt's $500 that she said she would give. I mean, I could give that back to the same night.
Okay, here's my question, though, because earlier you told me you had $6,000 of your dad's in an account. What happened to that? Was that a lie? Just tell me. Don't lie to me. Just tell me that was a lie. You said earlier you told me you had money from your dad in an account and you couldn't access it.
Correct. I can't on the inside. On the outside, I can go to the physical bank and withdraw money.
Megan, I hope that what you're saying is the truth and that you have that money in an account somewhere, because if you're not, you are just perpetuating your lies and your crimes at this point.
I'm aware. I'm not going to commit a crime while I'm in jail.
Wouldn't even be a crime if you just said I had the money and got somebody to bail you out. That's not a crime. It's a gray area, but I'm telling you that if you're lying about having six, oh, however, I don't know. I don't remember how much you said you had in that account of your dad's, but like, if that's a lie, regardless, I don't need you to say it to me or not, but like, just know you're a shitty person if that's a lie. You're just literally perpetuating everything that has happened already.
I know. I don't know if anyone would be willing to help me bail me out, and then like, if the money paid back, if A, if they want it, obviously they could have it, but I don't know if it'd be better spent like giving it to or not.
Deserves a lot. That poor guy. I mean, honestly, there are not a lot of words I could say about that, but
I mean, I could get him $7,500 back. That's what I've got. And like, I mean, I've got the $6,000 that I talked about with my dad. I've got about $1,000 extra. And then my aunt was willing to chip in $500 on the bail payment back if anyone did it. So I mean, I could get $7,500 back.
Well, like I said, I think a really good step is writing to the credit card company and saying, look, I, without his permission, opened a credit card. He had no idea I did it. Did you even use the credit card?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. Yep. So that, I mean, I'm sure that's even, I'm sure that's fucked up his credit horribly. Yeah, you need to, that's the first thing you need to do. And I would, if you have pencil and paper, I would be doing that now. I will personally put $5 on your account if you order an envelope with it and mail that to me. I will mail it to the credit card company. That would give some people some faith in you that you're willing to do the right thing, admitting something that you haven't even been charged for, that you did wrong, and that you're willing to start making those wrongs right. I think that's a very good first step. And I would be happy to help you with that. Is there anything I can help with outside of to help make things right? Like, is there anything you would like me to, like, I'm honestly, if you're moving in the right direction, I'm willing to help.
Yeah, I mean, I know nobody believes me, but what I would like to do is get out somehow. I would like to not have to use that money for bail, but I would if I had to. But I would like to give $7,500 back. Because I think 75 would be a significant amount to start with. It's not just $5. You know, 75 is a lot. And I think that could, I mean, I don't know his financial situation, but, you know, you say that
not
you're
good.
I'm sure 7,500 could go a long way.
It would, yes. But, okay, let me ask you this question, because this is the question we all have. What kind of account is this money in? You said it's from your dad, but you don't have a card to it?
It's, you can look it up. It's a... They deposit money, so it's through MetLife, and they deposited money into a bank account. And you basically have to go into the bank to get money. I never got a debit card with it. I've called them before, and like, I haven't used a lot of money out of it for obvious reasons. But like, one time I had to pay one bill for something, and I was able to wire it, and I called them. It's when I like, I don't know that I want to say checking account, but it's like I'm the beneficiary of a life insurance policy. It's the best way I can explain it.
It's like a trust fund.
Yeah.
Like your mom doesn't have access to this account?
No, she's not the beneficiary. And I asked her if she was willing to help me get the money out, and she's not willing to do it because she's not going to be involved in anything the least bit sketchy. Hey, what's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
What's the truth?
The truth about what?
You said that you were going to get the money to bail me out. Is that true or not?
Yeah, Megan, I literally just got off work.
Okay, I know, but you were asking me a bunch of questions, so I didn't know what was going on.
So I was just asking because you said your mom took your money, so I wanted to make sure that you have bail money.
Yeah, I do. My mom took out of my checking, but I still have my dad's money.
So you still have the money that you need to give me back after I pay your bail?
Yeah. I'm not going to commit another felony and not give it to you, trust me. Not about committing felonies these days.
Well, you still haven't been truthful this last week or two. Does your mom want to sign your bond, or do I have to?
My mom can.
Okay. Well, then I will get a hold of her after I have the money. It will either be tonight or first thing in the morning.
Okay. Hey, Alyssa, can I ask you a question while I have you on the phone?
Yes.
Can I ask why?
Why what?
I'm sure you can understand, like, why I would be shocked, you know, that you're offering to pay this. And I know that you want paid back. I get that. But, like, I'm just really shocked that you want me out of jail. I thought you wanted me to sit here.
Well, I told you earlier the only reason I was doing it is because you need to pay back.
Okay.
And that's going to be done. I will go and remove my name off your bond if I'm the one that has to sign it, and you'll go right back to jail. So I was on my way to pay your bail, and your mom called me. I went there last night. I tried to get a hold of you, but you had blocked me. So I told them I would come back this morning. I'm on my way there this morning. Your mom called me, freaking out, telling me, do not bail you out under any circumstance, that it's a waste of money. She was saying all kinds of shit, and I recorded it and let everyone listen so that you know I'm not lying. Your mom told me not to bail you out.
Yeah, I need to hear the recording. I don't believe it. I'm sorry.
Are you going to bail Megan out?
Yeah, why? Because it would be a waste of money. I would just wait on that until I hear from the lawyer.
You do not want your daughter out of jail, I'm confused.
Well, she'll go from one jail to another.
That's going to happen no matter what. Let's say if she bails out, she can go for mental health treatment once she gets out of the other one, and all the charges will be dropped.
But who's going to pay the bill over at the end of the
day? I am. She's going to pay me back. She said she's got like $15,000 in the account.
To me, I wouldn't do nothing until I talk to the lawyer.
Well, she's actually did it. She's been begging me for 2 weeks. I told her, I gave her my word that I would.
Yeah, it's just going to be a waste of money and waste of time because she's going to go from one jail to another.
Right, and I'll bail her out of the next jail as well.
I will not sign for it.
I'm going to.
Okay.
Because if she doesn't pay me back, then I'll revoke the bond and file charges for the money, obviously. But she's assured me that she's got it in account.
Like I said, I just waited for a while and see what happens with this lawyer. Because,
I'm not giving Megan any money. I'm going to spend mine. She's going to pay me back the second she walks out. Are you trying to tell me she doesn't have the money? Because I need to know.
I don't know.
She said she got it from when her dad died. She's got $15,000 in the account. Wait, see what happens.
Stoner then abruptly ended her call with Alyssa after hearing Gail discourage Alyssa from paying her bail. Minutes later, Stoner calls Alyssa back.
Hey, Alyssa. Sorry, I'm on the wall phone at the jail, so it cuts off every so often. I mean, you're welcome to listen to my mom. I don't know why you would.
Can you apologize for calling me a liar first?
I apologize. I don't know. My mom, something is wrong. I'm getting very, I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry.
Well, I've tried to tell you what happened. You called me a liar. I don't really appreciate that.
My mom told me a different story. I don't know who to believe. I'm sorry. My mom literally told me she did not say that. I don't know what to do. I'm sorry, okay? I don't know anymore.
Well, now you do know. Now you know what your mom's doing behind your back. You know what's going on, because I'm not going to lie to you like I've told you a million times, but you continue to call me a liar even though time and time again I prove to you that I'm telling the truth. And I don't know why I do that, but I really shouldn't give a fuck.
Here's Justin.
I will admit, we heard a few things about the way she was acting inside of jail, and curiosity did get the best of me. So I did communicate with her as Justin. A few times I talked to her, and she was relatively pleasant, but very quickly she became desperate for someone to come bail her out. And she got very belligerent with her messages. Megan often would ask me to call her mom when she was in jail, but I never spoke to her mom. From what I know of her, I think Gail, if you read the letters that she wrote to the jail on Megan's behalf, I would say semi-literate. It wasn't until Megan went back to jail and had her bail revoked that Gail found out the extent of Megan's crimes and the extent of who Megan was through the first 9 months of this whole saga. Gail didn't know why Megan was under so much scrutiny and why Megan was having to go into hiding. And I think it was truly very both confusing and devastating for Gail to go through that, because I don't think she could fully grasp what Megan was and what Megan had done.
I think Megan at this point was willing to do whatever it took to get out of jail. And there were a lot of times she would call her mom and her mom wouldn't answer. Her mom would go from a couple days to a couple weeks without speaking to Megan. And I truly believe then and now that she had put so much stress on her own mother, I think it led to her mother's demise. That's truly speculation. But her mom, it's not like her mom was super old. I don't even think her mom had any like really serious health conditions. But Megan had put so much pressure on her mom, and then her dad dying, her being in jail, her publicly scamming people, being on the news. I think it caused her mom so much stress that there were times where she was like, I don't even want to talk to my own daughter. She was her parents' light of their lives. And her own mom didn't really want to have anything to do with her after she went to jail. Like, she accepted Megan's calls. I think she was paying for Megan's commissary at the time, but Megan was continuously harassing her mom. If she called me as many times as she did, I can't imagine how many times she called her mom. And especially if her mom wouldn't answer. And I'll be honest, it is truly debilitating mentally to have someone who is a succubus like Megan calling you constantly and taking energy from you and taking your peace from you. And she is fully capable of doing that. Even though I kept her at arm's length, there were times where I truly felt like she was taking every last thing that I had inside of me to just continue conversations with her. When her mom wouldn't answer the phone, she'd be like, Alyssa, can you please call my mom? Can you just tell her I need this, or tell her she has to do this now, or I need her to pay my bail now? And I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm not calling your mom so that you can verbally and mentally abuse her. There was a couple times where I called Gail and I was like, hey, Megan's trying to reach you. And this was at the very beginning of her asking me. And I could hear the pain, just complete fed up attitude that Gail had towards her at this point. And she was like, no, I'm not answering her calls. But I will say this, like, Gail defended Megan until the bitter end. I mean, she never really said anything bad about Megan, but you could hear it in her voice that she was just tired of it. She had had enough. I honestly can't imagine what Gail was going through at this point with the amount of calls, messages, you know, whatever else Megan could do to try to reach out to this woman when she wouldn't respond to her. And this happened for a while. Basically, up until Gail died, Megan was asking people to contact her mom for her.
Hey, Alyssa.
What?
Hey, I know you're not my secretary, but I was wondering if you could call a welfare check on my mom, please.
Why?
Because something is wrong with her. She's acting berserko. She's just dazed and confused. She doesn't know what day it is. She's acting all weird.
Does your mom take drugs?
No.
Not like Xanax, like nothing prescribed?
Nothing prescribed.
Did you just talk to her?
Yep.
I mean, do you think it's possible she just doesn't want to talk to you, or do you think there's actually something wrong with her? Because I'm not going to call if this is just Megan getting mad.
I really think there's I think there's something wrong. She's like, what day is it? And I'm like, it's Sunday.
That's your only indication that something's up?
No, she also told me that she's not slept, and she doesn't know, like, where things are. Like, all of a sudden, my purse is gone, and just weird-ass things that don't make any sense. I've had to ask her, I've had to explain to her, like, 7 times a simple concept, and she's confused.
Okay. I'm just I'm not going to call if this is just you throwing a tantrum because your mom won't talk to you.
No, that's not what it is. I'm just legitimately concerned about her.
October 10th or 11th, I was in Kentucky. We were on a family vacation and I had no signal. We were kind of out in the boonies. We went into town one day to go to the store and my phone was blowing up. What happened was that She told the jail that she needed to be released to go to her daughter's funeral. At some point, she said her daughter had been adopted and that the daughter and the adopted mother had been in an accident and she needed to go to her daughter's funeral. That someone had reached out to her to tell her, even though it like broke confidentiality because she said it was a closed adoption. So they broke a closed adoption to tell Megan that her daughter had died. And so Megan called me that night. We were like still in town. She called me and I answered and she's like, hey, I need to know about that warrant you told me I have, because she had a warrant that was more important than the dead child. So she keeps asking me, I need to know about the warrant. And I'm like, I need to know about your dead child. Alyssa, I need to know about this warrant because I know you're lying to me. My lawyer said I don't have a warrant. She clearly did. I could see it online. I believe it was for probation because I was the one that called the probation officer to tell her that Megan had violated in another county, which violated her probation. The whole call, I'm talking to her, I'm like, why are you telling people that your child died? And she's like, well, because I had a child that died. That was probably one of those baffling lies that she told. I don't know why that one stuck out to me more than the others and why it fired me up so badly. Maybe because I have children. So it like struck a nerve with me to sit there and say that you lost a child. Like that is so disrespectful to women that have lost children. How dare you?
Why is everyone saying that your kid died?
Because I have a child that died.
You have a child, Megan?
Yes, I did.
You gave birth to a child?
I did, yes. That's normally how they come about.
I think you are absolutely delusional at this point.
Okay, well, that's fine. Could you send me... I think you're delusional about the warrant.
Okay, I'm definitely not, but let me tell you something else. You've never had a child, Megan. This is the best thing I've heard yet. Do you have any pictures of your baby bump?
I don't know. Did I have a warrant out of Anderson?
Did you have a child out of your vagina?
My attorney's office said there is not a warrant out for my arrest, so I am trying to figure this out.
Okay, well, you should figure out what went wrong in your head when you thought that you had a child.
I'm not going to sit here and argue with that.
Well, yeah, there's no reason to argue. You never had a child. You've never given birth to a child. Stop telling people your kid died.
Yes, I have. Thank you very much.
Megan, you have lost your mind. Your other lies were crazy. This one's like, I'm baffled right now. And it's disgusting to people that have had children and lost them. You're lying about having a kid.
I'm baffled that you would lie about a warrant.
You have lost your mind. Okay, well, call me back when you've decided that you didn't have a child. And your mind's in the right place. Okay?
Well, I'm actually trying to locate the birth certificate as we speak.
You're trying to locate the birth certificate of the child you never had. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because the birth certificate is over in storage.
Here's Justin.
She messaged all of us, and by all of us, I mean like at least me, Alex, Alyssa, at the same time through the app, my daughter just died. I have followed Megan Stoner for 7-8 years at this point, and I've never heard any mention that she has a child. And she keeps up this story for a few days that she had a daughter who she had 10 years ago. So given Megan's age, that would be like at the age of 15. And she had to give her up for adoption, and there was a car accident, and the adopted mother and the daughter died. And that she found out about this in jail because she was trying to come back into her daughter's life over the past couple months. She had been in contact with the family, and the dad had gotten a hold of her and let her know of this tragedy that happened. I will admit, it was the one time Megan sort of got me where I was just like, is this the thing that happened to her that explains it all? Did she have this child she had to give up? And so I approached it from the position of, it is true. And then Alex and Alyssa sort of approached her from the position of like, Megan, you're a compulsive liar. We don't believe you. But I sat on the phone with her and questioned her here and there about, this doesn't really make sense. And she doubles down. She was able to come back into her daughter's life, has this whole story. And I'm like, oh my God, this is wild. But I sort of figured out what she was trying to do, because she very quickly was making me feel guilty for my role in putting her in jail, saying, you've got to bail me out so I can go to the funeral. That was just a whole ploy to get out of jail. And she probably saw on a pamphlet or something in the jail, like you can get out for funerals and it has to be a kid, a spouse, a parent, or a sibling or whatever. Her dad was already dead. She doesn't have a spouse, doesn't have kids, but she thought, okay, I have a kid that I gave up for adoption that died. That might get me out. And she just went
fully into it, to the point that even I couldn't completely rule out that it was true, because she's just so incredibly good at it. She's not very smart, and she's not as smart as she wants to think she is, because there's always a big gaping hole in her plan. But when you're in it, when you're talking to her, she's incredibly good at it.
Did your daughter actually die?
Yes.
I didn't know you had a kid.
It's a long story, and it has to do with a private adoption.
A private
I don't care that no one... Yeah, my kid was adopted out.
When did that happen?
Almost 10 years ago. Leo was actually helping me parent the last 3 or 4 months. I got involved in her life, and he was helping me parent from afar, and... He has a kind of a messed up situation with his own kids, but he gets it. And I was trying to come into her life, and...
Well, do you know what happened?
The people that adopted her, I talked to the dad. It was a car accident, and the mom and her got killed. I can't even get my child's social security card number because it's in my phone, and the jail denied me access on Sunday, so I can't even get her social security card number to do anything. So I'm like, SOL. The dad is still in the hospital. I haven't been able to talk to him since Sunday. So I don't know what's going on. And it's all a clusterfuck. And I've been trying to sort it out for 3 days, and I'm getting absolutely nowhere with the jail, the court, anyone. No one's helpful. No one wants to do anything. So I'm SOL. It's been a nightmare on Elm Street trying to coordinate.
You said you were going to try to go. Is this the family member you were telling me about?
Yeah.
So you're going to try to go to the funeral?
Yeah, if I ever get an envelope to mail the judge, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm irritated, I'm frustrated, I'm stressed out beyond belief. I went to Bible study last night, though, and cried all the way through Bible study.
I'm just going to be transparent here and say that the story about the daughter, I'm really having a hard time believing. You know, I've talked to a couple other people since I left work, and it seems like there's maybe some holes in the story.
I haven't talked to anybody. How would they know? No one has talked to me besides you. I have talked to no one. I talked to Alyssa for like 5 minutes.
I was going to say, you talked to Alyssa a little bit, and you messaged Alex as well, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, in the interest of being transparent, you know, just about where my head is at right now. I mean, a mom and daughter dying in a car accident is a story you've told multiple times. You understand that there's a deficit here of trust because of, you know, the history, the way you're talking about it and the way that you're like using it almost like, I mean, to message me in the middle of the night and say, my daughter died. Thanks. You posted on Twitter, you know, at the beginning part of this year that you and Jake were trying to start a family and that you weren't able to. And turns out that Jake's not even a real person.
Never used his name on Twitter, but okay.
Well, you said my partner and I, and then you told me the name Jake is Xavier or whatever. But anyway, you said that. And then, you know, you joined the Spice Girls moms group because you wanted to be a mom, but you said you weren't. So I'm very confused right now that you're bringing this out. Because there's a lot of conflicting stuff here.
Waiting on you all to accuse me of murdering my child next. At least I have an alibi of where I was.
You're waiting on us to accuse you of murdering your child.
Yeah, probably going to happen.
Well, I have not heard that yet. Because, I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot to add to the story at this stage.
The jail told me to contact my public defender about this funeral. And I'm like, I'm trying, you morons.
Do they live locally or are they, like, far away?
No, they're out actually by Leo. They're out in Cali.
Okay. And this is where, like, I'm just going to be honest about where my mind goes here. And just so I'm not putting up any fronts, you said you had to visit a dying relative in New Jersey so you could go and see Harry. And that turned out to not be the case. And now you're saying you have to attend the funeral. And this just so happens to be out by Leo.
I'm not going to California. We're going to try to do something in Indiana.
Okay.
It's not going to be today or tomorrow because I had to contact the judge. So it gives us a little bit of time to figure it all out because he said the dad's still in the hospital. I can't make arrangements. Yeah, it's going to be a few days probably, would be my guess. But they did say something about Indiana. We can do something in Indiana. I'm hopeful for that. I just don't know how to get a hold of anyone like the judge. It's frustrating.
Is it just going to be like doing a little private ceremony, or is it going to be like...
I don't know yet. I'll send you all the address so you can send flowers.
I mean, do you know how much trouble you're going to be in if this turns out to not be true?
I understand.
I mean, I'm inclined to believe you because, I mean, it's a hell of a thing to lie about, but...
I know.
You've also told some pretty big lies in the past. Lies that you told for years and then recanted.
I understand. That's why I didn't want to talk to anybody about it. That's why I was just calling you as a family member because I knew no one was going to believe me.
How did the dad get in contact with you in jail?
He didn't. I called him.
You called him?
I'll check with Sunday.
How did you know that this accident had happened?
He told me?
He told you when you called him on, like, you just happened to call him on Sunday and all of this has happened?
Yeah, I called him for a weekly check-in. Yeah, Leo was helping me get established in my life. And so I called on Sunday.
See, I didn't think that's how private adoptions worked. I didn't think you could do that.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of questions about the adoption because I wasn't of legal age. And so it wasn't, a lot of it was not my doing.
Right.
I actually had a state lawmaker that pulled records from Department of Health for me a couple years ago. And that's been, God, it's been a couple years, I'll tell you that much. Probably 2018, 2019, but yeah, it's been at least a couple years because he's been out now. Yeah, so I mean, it's been a while, but yeah, he got me public records, or not public records, but he requested records from the Department of Health. I don't really want to miss her funeral, but I don't know.
Well, I hate to say I hope it's true, because if it's true, it's a tragedy, but
yeah.
I surely hope this is not something you would lie about, sitting where you're sitting.
Well, there's no saying the judge is going to grant my request anyway.
Even if you lie to the judge about this and he says no, you're still lying to a judge. Do you understand that?
Correct. Yes, I do. I would not commit perjury.
But you've lied on court documents before. I don't know what to believe, because on the one hand, I want to believe that no one would ever lie about things like this. On the other hand, I've seen you lie about other things. And this story is a lot to accept at face value when you never mentioned this before.
I was saying that the reason why I've not been public about her is because you guys would have tracked down the parents, and maybe not you, but somebody in the group would have tracked down the parents, told them that I'm psychotic, whatever, I'm a scammer, thief, liar, fraud, whatever, etc., and would have told them I don't need to be in her life, blah, 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 and would have turned them against me like you've turned Harry and everyone else against me. I don't know if anything's being said in the group right now, but I wanted to call to apologize.
For what, Megan?
When I lied to you.
What did you lie about?
The kid.
You lied and said you had a child that you gave up for adoption and that it died in a car wreck with its adoptive mom, and none of that was true.
Correct.
Okay. What other lies have you told me?
Because
I can think of several just since you and I started talking. And frankly, I don't really, like, I don't even really didn't know where to begin, because it's every time I talk to you, I then go back and talk to other people and I find out something you told me wasn't true.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure. That's the only thing I can think of that I've told you.
You've told me that your mom was having a heart attack and you had to get out. You told me that you had a kid that died and that I was going to take it.
I just covered that.
Well, I'm including it in the list, and you told me multiple times that you have all this money in an account that you can pay back, and then you tell me that you're about to sign a plea deal. Twice, you told me you had a deal in front of you that had been offered that you were going to sign, and I find out neither of those was true.
Okay, the plea deal is true, and I'm actually going to be writing the judge about it. So, you all can just wait until I write the judge.
Okay, well, it'll show up on the my case when it does. I don't know what to believe anymore, because, you know, I talk to you sometimes, and you're completely pleasant to talk to, and it sounds like you want to do better, and I say I'm willing to, you know, help you on the road to getting better, and then I get off the phone and I say, she said this, this, and this, and everybody says, yeah, none of that's true. I don't even know why I'm taking this call. I don't know what I'm doing anymore, because the lies you tell are just so out there. I mean, you've burned all these bridges, and you're facing all these consequences, and you would still make up a lie that's that elaborate. That makes me think there's nothing you wouldn't lie about.
Yeah, I understand.
You've lied so many times about things from, you know, what kind of job you had to, you sent that Amazon wish list to everyone I know for a year when you weren't a teacher. You ran this rental scam. You know, lied to get the Tesla. You lied about Brian Bosma. You lied to Harry. You've lied to, you've lied to so many people about so many things, Megan. And then you want us to take your calls and talk to you and feel bad that we did what we did. And it's like nothing has changed. I'm being offered 12 years one day, and then I'm being offered 3 months the next, and I'm supposed to, and then it comes out neither of those offers have been made in that amount of time. It's just baffling to me.
I understand. I will say the offers, though, you guys wouldn't know.
The thing is, Tiffany, like, we're the only friends she has. Like, the only people that will talk to her are the people that put her in jail. And I said that to her one time. I was like, Megan, how does it feel right now that the only people you have a hope of helping you right now are the people who conspired to put you in jail? And she was like, please stop. Don't rub that in right now, please. Amanda said to me after, she's like, you're kind of nice by not pointing that out every time. After the dead kid thing, we all cut her off entirely. She reached out a few times to try to make things right. I have several phone calls from Christmas time of last year of me telling her, like, please stop calling me. I literally answer the phone and I just go, fuck off. And she goes, you really just paid for a phone call from the jail to tell me that? And I said, yes, because I'm sick of you calling me. And she goes, I haven't called you in like a week. And I go, you called me yesterday twice. And she goes, is that really all you picked up the phone to tell me? She didn't even have a response for it.
Yeah, hey, I know you're going to be mad at me, but I really need your help, please.
Absolutely not.
Okay, why?
Because I'm not doing anything to help you. Because you're a compulsive liar and a thief. I've made that as clear as I can, and you just call me over and over and over again. So I don't know what else to do. I've had enough conversations with you. I've had enough conversations where you make up bullshit about having dead kids that don't exist. I think we're done with that.
Justin, can you please just talk to me? I don't have anyone.
And whose fault is that?
I know, it's mine, and I'm willing to accept responsibility. I understand that I had an issue with lying, and I'm sorry.
But this is one of those things where you're just going to have to do better. Like, the words mean nothing, because you say that every time, and then you tell me that you've got a kid that died, and your mom's having a heart attack, and everything else that under the sun you can think of to get what you want. You're just going to have to do better.
I just want a conversation with someone.
No, stop calling me. Goodbye.
Justin.
Hey, Alyssa. Rosa. I just wanted to check in with you.
Megan, we're all done speaking with you. Every last one of us.
Okay, why?
Because all you've done is continue to lie and cause drama and try to turn people against each other. It's just really disgusting. I called the jail and had them... Excuse me?
You don't think that you try to turn myself against my mom?
Listen, let me tell you something. I called the jail. You called me like 20 times in a row the other night. I didn't answer. I called the jail and asked them to block you from calling me. So I don't even know how you're calling me right now.
Oh, I am.
You literally have called all of us at least 20 times with no answer. Like, what is going to make you get the hint? Like, none of us want to speak to you anymore. We're done.
You try to talk to my mom.
No one is going to help you. Like, we literally all just want to see you sit there.
Well, then none of the victims get paid back, I guess. I don't know.
Well, then that's on you, Megan, because you're the one that scammed those people. We didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you will continue to scam for the rest of your life. That's why you told everybody you had a kid that you never had. That's why you told everybody you have money in a bank account that you don't have. You think that we're ignorant or we're stupid, and none of us are. And at this point, we're all just so done with you. It's the same story every time we talk to you. It's so fucking repetitive.
What story?
Every story you tell. It's all lies. It's always the same shit. It's always trauma dumping with someone else's trauma, not even your own. You're sick, Megan, and I think...
I mean, at least I didn't lie about Jim Wood, so...
You think that's the worst thing anybody's ever lied about? Like, Megan, you literally told us last week you had a child that you never had. I had to answer to tell you to stop fucking calling. None of us are going to spend another dollar. What?
You just wanted something on record with my mom. That's all you wanted.
No, you know what? It doesn't matter what I wanted. I just really think... At this point, like, you need to sit in there and be isolated from the world like you deserve. I think you've been getting off on talking to all of us. We've been giving you way too much attention, and we're all done. We've all come to the conclusion that none of us want to speak to you anymore.
So do you not want updates on my case then?
We'll get them from the court, Megan, when you either go to trial or take a plea deal and end up in prison. I could care less at this point. All you've done is lie. I've literally gotten no information from you that was useful. And it's done nothing but waste my time and money. Money that I work for. I didn't scam anybody for it. I had to work hard for my money.
Can you tell me if there's anything on my case?
No, fuck you. I'm not telling you anything ever again. I was never your secretary. I'm not your secretary now.
Next time on Something Was Wrong.
Yeah, so I only pled guilty to 2 counts. They threw out 7 charges.
Well, yippee for you. I'm glad that you got to scam all those people and just got away with it.
Is that the general reaction?
I message him and I say, hey, we don't know each other. We have nothing in common, but I believe that we might have a mutual acquaintance. Does the name Megan Stoner ring a bell for you? And he messaged back pretty soon after and said, yes, I've actually hired a lawyer to discuss this matter.
Thank you so much for listening. Something Was Wrong is a Broken Cycle Media production, created and produced by me, Tiffany Reese. Thank you so much to our associate producers, Amy B. Chesler and Lily Rowe. Thank you to our audio engineer, Becca High, and our social media marketing manager, Lauren Barkman of Luxury Media. Additional thanks to our partners, Grant at Wondery, Marissa, Travis, and our team at WME, Jason and Jennifer at KSCO, our cybersecurity team, Darkbox Security, and my lawyer, Alan. And to all of you who make our show possible with your support and listenership. Special shout out to Neon Honey and Gabanez for covering our theme song, Glad Rag's original song, You Think You, this season. For more music from them, check out the episode notes or your favorite streaming app. In the episode notes, you'll always find content warnings, sources, and resources, with links to our websites and social media as well. Thank you so much to every survivor and ally who has trusted us to help share their stories. We are forever grateful. Until next time, stay safe, friends.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.